two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back inside The Mom Show. Dads are welcome, but moms come here to be heard. We're with Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. I am Lindsay Ertz here with Dr. Susan Madsen. She's with the Utah Women and Leadership Project. And then Emily Bell McCormick is with the Policy Project. These two powerhouse women study women's issues in the state of Utah. And namely, Dr. Madsen does research on different women's topics. And Dr. Madsen, you have some recent research about poverty in Utah.
Absolutely. So we did an update. We did an original snapshot where we collect data from the census and every piece of published research. We collect it into one place and produce a 4-page report that summarizes everything. And so we did our first one in 2017, I think, maybe 2016. And then now this year, 2022, we've done an update. And in general, we compare Utah to the nation. So how do we compare with women in poverty compared to the nation? Actually, I know usually I bring really depressing news, but this is not, well, it has a little bit of a depression to it. But this one, we actually do quite well compared to the nation. We still have a good 10% of Utahns who live in poverty. However, generally speaking, we're about number two in terms of the best states in poverty. Although, so that's the good news. We still have thousands and thousands and thousands of women who live in poverty. This is the clincher right here, is that if you in the state of Utah are a single mother, especially if you have kids 5 years old and younger, 37%, which is better than it was about 5 or 6 years ago, but 37%, if you're a single mom with little kids at home, 37% will be living in poverty. Wow. If you're a single mother with kids 18 and below, 27%. So not quite as bad, but still think about that. That's a lot of people. And I'm just going to bring it in because we are also look at poverty rates by race and gender. So when you look at race, though, is what I wanted to highlight. Whether you're a single mother or not, 37%, if you're Black or African American and live in the state of Utah, you're going to be living in poverty. The next one is about 19%, and that's Native Americans and Native Alaskans. And then about 10% if you're Native Hawaiians, about 9% if you're Asians, and about 8.5% if you're white. Mm. So I just want to point that out because I think that's important for us to know. There's really differences in whether you're a single mother or a mother, you know, a married mother, and what race you are.
Well, yeah. And you think about how hard motherhood is when you have all the tools and partners and privileges available to you, like a spouse and a nanny and a job that pays you enough. And you think about still how much you struggle in motherhood. Maybe I'm just speaking from my experience, but I can't imagine not having those privileges that I have. And, you know, there are women out there, like you said, 37% of them who are living with kids about my kids' ages who don't have those things, and how hard it is to be a mother again, in general, but when you add those complications of poverty on top of it, it's just so hard.
And I wanted to point one more thing, and I know Emily will have some comments about this. I just want people who are listening in today to think about, you know, living at the, for a single mother living at this poverty level who really, really wants to work for money, wants to work and support, let's say, two kids under the age of five and doesn't have a college education, which we have many who do not. Now, think of the cost of childcare. Emily, I know you have some opinions. So think, I mean, childcare is quite expensive. And think of, you know, two kids under five and a single mom trying to even work. You can't even work. Like, even if you're making $15 an hour, you know, with no education, that wouldn't even cover your childcare.
Yeah, that was sort of my point there. Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. Yeah. So hard. Emily, your thoughts here.
Yeah, no, I just think it's so, I love, this is why I value what Dr. Mattson does so much, because you can talk about it, and but until you know the numbers and you can kind of have some data behind some of these issues and start to see what that actually looks like, you know, just even visualizing an outline of our state of Utah and taking 25% of any population and saying they're living in poverty, all of a sudden that feels real, right? And it also, to me, feels like we have a lot of work ahead, you know, and we can do it. We have all the tools to be able to take care of these issues. It's just a matter of taking the time and putting the resources toward doing it. So I just, you know, I love it. I think the more we can talk about the data and the research that Dr. Mattson and her group do and others, it makes a massive difference in the way we perceive ourselves and our role, you know, as a mother who lives in a community. It changes the way that we perceive ourselves and our role and our obligation to society, our responsibility.
Yeah.
And I want to pop in just to give the listeners, if you're not familiar with Utah 211, that's a really important resource that you can use for yourself. Or it, and it's not just about poverty, but it's the place to go for any kind of needs. And so you can give that resource to other people. They can actually call or they can get online. It's associated with all the United Ways of Utah. And you can get, you know, information about shelters, you know, about food banks and just all kinds of resources.
Yeah, and I wish we had time to get into more solutions here, how we help especially single mothers in poverty, what policy solutions are available out there, but we'll have to save that for another show. Dr. Susan Mattson of the Utah Women in Leadership Project, Emily Bell McCormick with the Policy Project, thank you ladies for all your work on these different issues and for chatting with me today. And we'll be back next week on The Mom Show.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.